So, hey, stop me if you've heard this one. An Irishman walks into a bar in Toronto and orders a drink. The bartender asks him, "What brings you to Canada?" The Irishman says, "Well, I was in a pub in Dublin, and the coaster under my glass said, 'Drink Canada dry.' So I thought I'd give it a shot." That's a ginger ale joke.
Oh.
anybody may not know what that is.
I'm a 7-Up guy.
Oh, yeah. So that joke wouldn't have made nearly as much sense if
that's what we did. The Dr. D on the mic. Soup stirring up hot takes. This ain't casually anymore. We're live on a rock sheet. Let's go.
Hello, Arachnids. This is your host, D to the D, Dr. D, reaching out through the supervision-free source of Infinity Interfacing. I'm joined today by Old Hat and just the cutest little boy this side of the Mississippi. His name's Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey, everybody. It's me.
It's a Mikey with the inventing of the souping and all that. Today on Arachne, we're going to finish talking about the things that happened at Interplanetario because it was just too much to happen for one episode, and we decided that we wanted to sleep between the last episode and this one. So we're going to finish up what we were talking about, which is going to include the new version or updated version, I guess, whatever you want to call it, of Aristea. And we're going to go over the lists that won the tournaments at Interplanetario for Warcrow and Infinity. If you are listening to this episode and have not listened to the other one, we do talk about all the previews and the things that we thought were interesting that happened while the convention-y side of it was happening. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, we did talk about it, and go check out that episode. It should be the one right before this. That's how numbers work. But today, we got to talk about business. Arachne is a part of the Professional Casual Network. If you'd like to support the network, please sign in for our Patreon at Professional Casual Network 1. And of course, if you would like to help us out specifically, use the Digital Nomad tier, which really, really helps us out. And you will, of course, get a shout out at the beginning of the episodes whenever I do find the actual names, because I can't access it without other people's help, which is not always helpful because they all live in a different place than me. Even though it's not a different time zone or anything, communication is tough, you know, when you got a bunch of nerds being nerds. I personally am sponsored by Monument Hobbies. If you would like to buy some of their swanky paint, use the code Professional Casual. If you want to see me use their swanky paint, come to the Twitch streams, which are happening usually on Sunday, Mondays, and Thursdays, 7:30 Eastern Standard. I've actually been much more active on my Instagram, which I'm going to hopefully start using as another way to market the Twitch stream. So if you are curious and want to see the things that I'm painting every once in a while when I remember to post, I am Dr. D Paints Stuff, I think, on Instagram, which I thought was kind of a fun little name. And of course, if you'd like to get a discount on some Baron of Dice, which makes some of the coolest dice in the biz, use the code Arachne and get yourself a 5% discount. They do have dice for all of the games, I think, that we talk about, which is awesome. And they're all very good. I really love the Baron of Dice. They got some heft to them. I really appreciate them whenever I get to roll them. So use the code Arachne. And we can't forget our sponsor, Mr. Laser, MrLaser.square.site. Okay, Mike, let's get to doing it.
All right.
Let's talk about lists. What do you know about anything?
Well, I know that we have two lists per winning person for both Infinity and Warcrow.
And we do have first and second, I do believe.
Yes, we do have them. I don't think they're numbered, which one's first, which one's second of the person's list, but it doesn't matter because you can choose whichever one you want for the missions.
And they're all winners to me.
Yeah, they 100% because they won Interplanetaria.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're cool. They're cool people.
Yeah.
I hear that they like to hire migrant workers to choke them while they're in the shower.
I thought that was just Duncan Rhodes.
Nope. Okay. So anyway, we're going to talk about these. We're going to talk about these lists.
All right.
Very small select group of people that are going to get that joke. And I really appreciate it if you know the full story. I can explain that full story in person. If you ever meet me in person, just walk up to Dr. D and be like, "Can you explain the being choked in the shower thing?" It's a very funny story, I promise. Anyway, to the list. Jesus Christ. So we have a couple of the lists here that CB themselves made from Warcrow and Infinity. We have zero idea who and why or what these lists are, but they did put these out for, I believe, the people that got first and second. And we are unfortunately not super aware of how the Warcrow tournament system works as of yet, because we haven't been to those. But it does offer some insight into the list that these people were using at a high level event, which I think in itself is worth some consideration, at least, you know, because if you start to see things that are consistent in lists, it kind of gives you an idea of what could be considered a consistently viable thing to use, if that makes sense. Does that make sense, Mike?
Yeah, it makes sense, especially for international play when you're getting a bunch of people from across the world together in one of these big tournaments. So this is like the first really big tournament internationally that the people are seeing for Warcrow. So seeing what has been deemed the top lists in the tournament or tournaments is super useful for people that want to understand what's working with the game and what's not.
I tend to agree with you on that one. I wouldn't necessarily call it net listing. I would definitely call it a taking helpful advice from people who are better than you that you don't have to take the time to talk to.
Yeah.
You don't have to make a lasting relationship quite yet. Lose with our list first.
I definitely think with Warcrow and Infinity, you can't just take a list and expect just to win just because it's a tournament winning list. You really have to understand the mechanics and the synergies within the army. So I don't think that this is as easy as game as it is to net list for. So yeah, I don't believe that there is as much value add as you would see in like a 40K tournament where people can just take a top tier list because that's what the game is supporting as the best option.
Correct. And so as we talk about these, just know that we may not know the full implications of it. I have played a good chunk of Warcrow. I am not a tournament player for it, that is for sure. But I've definitely played the game before, so I can at least offer some insight in regard to that. I know Mike has played it a little bit.
I've played the demos.
Okay. So you haven't done anything beyond the War in the North box?
Correct. Yeah, I haven't been able to expand past that part. That is something that I'm working on this fall.
Sweet. So if that is the case, just know that we're going into it as enthusiasts, not necessarily as experts, if that makes sense. So let's get to it. The first list that we're going to go over, again, we're not entirely sure who got first or second on this, but they both are playing Hegemony, which does go to show that the game is still very young, right? There's only two factions. Excuse me. There's more than two now. There's four. Because CNN is out at this point.
Yeah.
And so are Scions. So there are four factions in the game right now. Hegemony and the Northern Tribes are the ones that have the most amount of stuff. So I would imagine that anybody who's playing this game on a competitive level probably will use one of those factions just because of the fact that they have more, just like, you know, they got more stuff to use. You know, they have more viable tactics.
More options, wider spread.
Right. And I know that Scions and CNN strike me as two factions that require a little bit more finesse to be able to use. Northern Tribes are definitely very, to some extent, I wouldn't say completely. There's obviously at least some little eccentricities inside of these factions, but Northern Tribes is definitely the, hey, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to smash you faction, which is much more like simple in a brain drain kind of way. Hegemony is an interesting mix of all of them. It has its little eccentricities, but it also has its units that are just, hey, I walk up and I punch like the aggressors, which, hey, guess what? There are aggressors in these lists. I wonder why. So let's go over the first one. So Argos is playing Hegemony of Amber Sieg, and his list is as follows. He is using Drago the Anvil, who is his leader. He has Lady Telia, who is the sniper chick. She is not the leader. He also has a Strategos, which is attached to the Aquabusiers. He has some aggressors with a war surgeon, and then he's got a bulwark unit with a corporal, and of course he's got the black angels running around in the background. So the first thing that I see when I see this list is that it's a very, very list that is taking things for tactical viability. In the game, bulwarks are very difficult to move. They are literally, as their name entails, when they get bonked, there's a very good chance they're just not going to move. And you have to take that into consideration when you play against them, for sure. So if there's a unit that you're going to have trouble moving off of an objective, in some ways, it might be a good idea to just see somebody with bulwarks and just say, hey, it's all yours. I'm not going to be able to get them off. So depending on your objective set, I think that is a super, I think bulwarks are always solid. I think anybody who's playing Ember Sig is going to do great with them. The corporal, I think, is a pretty good model. It's interesting that he brought a corporal as well as Drago the Anvil, just because the hetmen are the more upgraded versions of the corporals, and the corporals are like more the baby version. And the big thing that those guys are trying to do is give extra abilities to units that are within a certain range of the actual corporal. I believe the corporal is, this is all off of memory, by the way. I believe the corporal is an officer, so he takes command of the unit. So all measurements of the unit come off of him specifically, which is important just because I want to say he might be on a smaller base. I'm not entirely sure. I don't remember what base size bulwarks are on. I think they might be on the same size base now that I'm talking.
It looks
but
the same.
They are the same. Okay, even better. So I think that's a really solid combo. The corporals are a very solid officer to put into. I mean, you can put anything into bulwarks, and I think they're fine. War surgeon in there, I think, is absolutely fine. Even the characters that give them like the engineers or whatever, I think are fine. Just anything. I think anything in a bulwark unit's fine. The Strategos with the Aquabusiers, I think, is a really good inspired choice as well. The Strategos in itself doesn't really offer a lot of like combat prowess. He doesn't really give anybody in regards to like giving them extra hits or anything, as far as just like an automatic thing that gets included. But he does include the ability. He includes a lot of strat of command points. I think he's a very good choice for Emperor Sig. I think he's worth his points personally. Aquabusiers, I'm not a huge fan of ranged in Warcrow myself. The Aquabusiers are the more damage heavy version of range that exists in this game, which I think I've never been a huge fan of, but if you can see them in a tournament, either winning or second place list, then obviously they must be doing okay. They must be doing something right. What that is, I personally can't say because I'm not quite at that level, but I mean, they look amazing. I love the models. Aquabusier models look fantastic. And aggressors are just classic run up and bonk somebody in the head with a big German sword, a Zweihander, and do some damage. And of course, the War Surgeon will give you the poison weapons, which obviously helps with their damage output. So I think this is pretty good. And Black Angels are just great because you got Cav, and Cav's fast. It can run off and grab objectives. And they also have Intimidating, if I remember correctly, which is a pretty useful ability to run in and hopefully get a little bit of spare. What's the morale stress? Yeah, I guess that's the word. Stress on enemy units, especially if they're weaker units that are like in the background type thing. Black Angels are great. They're really, really adaptable, and I think they're great for their cost. And Lady Telly is great because she can just snipe characters out of units, which is always super helpful in this game. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I think for the 250 point list with 8 command points, I don't know much of these unit cards as well as you do, but I think it's a pretty well-rounded force is what it seems like, especially the way you're describing it. You had the bulwarks basically holding things down. You got the guns between the Strategos and the Aquabusiers. You got, yeah, I can't pronounce words. The aggressors going in as your attack piece, and then you have your Black Angels as your cav unit. I think it covers just like every single generic checkpoint you'd want in a well-rounded list.
If I had to take a guess, this list is the Bulwarks walk up the middle. They sit on an objective. The Aquabusiers are kind of somewhat nearby, shooting anything that might be interested in attacking them just to weaken them up a little bit. The aggressors probably counter charge whatever it is that hits the Bulwark. Lady Telly is hopefully taking out some of the more useful attachments, which I don't think anyone else in this game can do currently, even spell wise and all that. Lady Telly just gives you the opportunity to remove unit attachments that, in my own opinion, I think unit attachments in this game are very strong for a variety of reasons. One just being the fact that you have a unit of a blade of wounds to move up some tactically viable thing, whether it be punching the living daylights out of something or not. A lot of mages, you can't really actually attach the unit. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's a one of them, like not necessarily like a combat wizard. I know Scions have some that can move up with their units. So yeah, we'll see. I think Lady Telly is probably going to get taken more often than not in all every list, honestly, as long as you're playing Hegemony. I would be surprised if anybody brings Hegemony without Lady Telly. I'll be quite honest, just because of the things that she offers. The rest of it, I could say take or go. I think you'd be insane to not bring Bulwarks in some form or another, just because of the way this game is played. And I would also tend to think that anybody playing this game is also going to be bringing Black Angels. One, because they look effing sick, because winged Tsars are amazing.
They look so cool.
But they're, I think it's a great list. I don't really have much else to say, unless you are like more interested in this, I would go to the Discord, and probably they've already disseminated it pretty thoroughly in a way that I am going to miss a lot of details, just because I don't even know like what the tournament system is for this game. So it puts me at a bit of a disadvantage in that regard. But I like it. I really like it.
But and you will know the tournament system now. They have a...
They do. That's true, which we talked about last episode. Yay.
They'll have a nice little packet.
Oh, my God. Is that a callback joke? Yeah. I will be hopefully at some point getting Feudum to play a little bit more consistently with this game. But we'll see. My life situation doesn't necessarily give me a lot of room for model buying these days. Let's just put it that way. So next list. This is from Alpha037. He is also playing Hegemony, as I said before. His list goes as follows. He brought Lady Tellia as the leader. He brought a unit of Buckle Boys. He brought another unit of Buckle Boys. Both of them don't have any attachments. He brought a unit of Black Angels. Can't say I'm surprised. Akabusiers with the Strategos. Again, that's a pretty common thing because the Akabusiers aren't going to be involved in combat, and it also gives those a Blade of Wounds to the Strategos because, again, he doesn't necessarily offer a lot inside of a fighting situation. The Bulwarks with the Corporal, again, that seems to be a fairly consistent thing. I'm sure there's going to be some thing that the Corporal gives that unit that just makes them extra tough. I don't know what it is off the top of my head. And then the Aggressors with the War Surgeon, I guarantee you it's because of the fact that it gives the unit just a few more wounds. The Aggressors are not nearly as tough as the Bulwarks are. They have much more fancy shirts. That's definitely the case, but that doesn't protect you from being stabbed or shot to death. And, you know, it's a good idea to have a medic on site who also coats your blades in poison. That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Just like the puffy shirts. So when I look at this list, the big difference here is the Bulwarks obviously are the most obvious noticeable difference. And essentially all he drops is Dragos.
Wait, the Bulwarks?
I'm sorry. Yeah, the Buckle Boys. I'm sorry, the Buckle Boys. Yeah, the two Buckle Boy units. Yeah. Definitely is the main difference between this and the previous list. I think Buckle Boys are pretty good for a nice little cheap mainline unit. I think they're fine. And I think it's cool that he brought them. It's good to see things from the starter get put in the game.
Yeah, he was able to trade out Drago for two units of Buckleman.
Because I believe that is the only difference between these lists.
That is the only difference is who's the leader. So it lowers the command points from 8 to 5.
Yep. And that is just because that's because Drago skips 3.
Yep.
And it goes to show you that this may not seem like all that impressive or quite honestly, in a lot of ways, not very interesting just because of the fact that they're so similar, but it does go to show you that the game is still very young. There's a lot of room for growth in this game. It hasn't had a chance to exist for a million years like Infinity has. I think it's kind of exciting that you get to see the game even have a tournament system at all. And while if I were to look at the list of people that played it and the armies they played, I bet Hegemony would probably be a very solid chunk of the top 10. Just because of their wider range of models and stuff. And yeah, I think Northern Tribes has issues when it comes to objective taking, but not to say that they should be counted out.
So are you thinking that Hegemony is the Pano of early Warcrow?
I would imagine that's probably going to be the case just because they are the starter box army. You know, like I think a lot of people start with Pano in Infinity, just because something I've always noticed, at least as far as marketing material goes, when you have starter boxes, they tend to pick armies that are blue. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, because when somebody's just walking in the store, they see box and they're like, ooh, blue must mean good guy. Red must mean bad guy. Right. And in this case, the orc motif probably lends itself to like they're the bad guy in the box kind of thing, which we know isn't necessarily the case with the lore and blah, 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 and have hoopoo on for that kind of stuff. But I do think that it is important to think about it from a marketing standpoint. I think that most people, when they start this game, will probably start with a 2-player starter because it has the rule books and all that. And I think personally, I think people find comfort in the human factions in some form or another. So I do think that Hegemony is probably the most popular for a variety of factors, even if it's not just gameplay. But when you go to giant worldwide spanning tournaments, you'll notice that good players pick the best armies because they're good.
Got it. So you think that Feudum coming out that is all blue will be the new top
contender? I think that Feudum will be the most popular army in the game. Yes, I do honest to goodness think that. And even when I was talking to, I can't remember exactly who told me, but I think it might have been Hoopoo, but when I was even talking to her, when they were doing that website army selection thing, that when they were first coming out, because you can go to their website and be like, hey, which army are you? Whatever. I think she said that the majority of people who did that, like, Feudum was far ahead of everything. And one of the things that we even, I think, talked about last episode was CB's taking risks when it comes to their model development in regards to Warcrow, because of the fact that it is a new IP and they're developing factions, and there are people out there who are complaining that they're not going far enough into certain things, which is what I thought Feudum was going to do. Is I thought Feudum was going to be super generic Anglo-Franco type just knight thing. I'm glad they went a little bit sort of weird with it, but I do think that it's a safe faction for people who may not like the IP's uniqueness, if that makes sense, where it's like, hey, if I were to be like, hey, Mike, I want you to play Warcrow with me, and let's just say that you're not really a fluff bunny, you don't really care about the lore, you don't really care about the aesthetics, and you don't really care about like the little things that people find exciting in their armies, like, oh yeah, these are the people that live on the mountain, and I like mountains because I'm like dwarves or whatever. I think human factions will always have an advantage in regards to, if there's someone who really doesn't care about the lore and they just want to play with their friends, I guarantee you, generic Nightman is going to be something that will take somebody's fancy in some form or another. Or giant robot. Yes. I think it's pretty safe. Do you think I'm wrong? Good, I'll fight you.
I don't think that's wrong. It's that or cool sculpt. If you this model looks cool, I'll play this army. I know I've done that in random like small games that people have showed me.
And it just makes it easy, because a lot of times if you're playing those small games just because other people want you to play with them, sometimes you just don't care. Like, you just don't care about the lore. Like Magical Girl Assault Squad, just this is a game that's like kind of gone around up where we are. We haven't actually played it, but people have bought some models. I couldn't tell you a single thing about the lore in that game, but one of the factions was like, okay, I guess this is the one I'm going to play because it looks the stupidest or whatever. Yeah.
There's aliens giving the girls magic powers.
Is that what Warcrow is too? Is it aliens giving orcs and humans giant suits of armor to hit each other?
No, got it's it. Magic mushrooms, just like old Warhammer Fantasy.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Mike. I'm listening. Listening, Mike. Go ahead.
Goblins. Okay, so the goblins used to eat mushrooms.
They still do.
Yep, and that was how they got their magic.
Holy crap. That was a really interesting story. Thanks, Mike. All right, guys. Next, we're going to talk about Infinity. So the Infinity Interplanetario 2025 lists are both Sea Army Classic. So there you go, yes. Keith. I know you're listening to this with your stupid monkey love. They did it.
So for this one, we do have OTM for us to look at. So the first list is from Kraken Masters from Vermissi. I'm going to say that wrong, probably. He's from Russia, or they're from Russia. Right? Am I lying about this picture? There it is. So they played Morat, and their list has two different groups. I just need to look at the picture a little better.
It's got some usual culprits in here, let's put it that way.
Oh, I forgot. I can't ever say these guys.
do you want me to do it?
But we're gonna.
Okay.
No, I got this. This is for Keith. So we have Morat Aggression Force, 300 points, 5.5 Swick. We have Dartok, Suryat, Rasei, Yagao, Kornak, Kaitok, Rimdok, Daturi. How'd I do?
You're like 50-50. That's all right. Yeah, that's not bad. 50-50? That's usual.
Oh, no.
All right, so do you want to do the other group, too? Do you think you can pronounce those?
I think I can at least get...
I would certainly hope so.
Yeah. So group two is a Warcrow, Rodok, two Ikadron Batroids, and then a R-Drone. Excellent. And a T-Drone.
And to anyone at home who's wondering what that was in that first group, it's a Dartok, a Suryat, a Rasiat, I think is how you say it. What did you say? I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Yaogat. You said yogurt, I think, or something like that.
Oh, yogurt.
A yogurt. Okay. It's a Kaitak, a Rindak, and a Datarazi.
And Kornak.
And Kornak. You got that.
As a lieutenant.
You got that one right. Yeah. If you have Kornak and he's not your lieutenant, then something's gone terribly wrong.
Fun fact about me is I cannot pronounce anything that's more difficult than the word milk. Mm. And I will just guess what the word sounds like by saying a random word. Like, instead of Yaogat, it just looks like yogurt to me.
So when you actually dissect this list, it has all the usual culprits. I mean, if you play Morats, if you've ever played them or you played against them, you see the same models over and over again. It's the same ones over and over. It's the Dartok, the Datarazi for the smoke throwing and all that goodness. And the Kaitak is doing its thing. Yaogat obviously is an excellent sniper. That thing was the terror of the last edition with that stupid team where that stupid jerk hole got a multi-sniper that could shoot like it was like burst 5 or 4 or something like that. It's great. Yeah.
You got a lot of animosity in your voice right now.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of playing against Morats. I've never had a ton of fun doing it, just put it that way. They're fine, I guess. Just whatever. They're not monkeys, they're Oni. That's what everybody tells me while we're playing. I'm like, yeah, your model's stupid because it's a dumb monkey. And he's like, it's not a monkey, it's an Oni. I'm like, okay.
Rebranded.
Yes. It's definitely a rebrand. This is a solid list. I think if you were going to build a Morat list, I mean, it would look like this at some point. Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah, I think it's got a lot of power in it. It's got a lot of pressure you can put on your opponents. So it's a really good competitive list you can bring out.
Yep. Nine models in group one, by the way, just to make sure that's clear.
Yeah.
So it's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, it's 9 and 6, 9, 6 split. And that is because Kornak gives you extra orders with his, I believe it's Strategos. I think he has Strategos, and then he has like an extra lieutenant order or something like that. Again, this is all off the top of my head. I could be wrong. If that's the case, please email CB and ask them, how's it going?
I thought you were going to tell him to email Keith.
What's going on? Yeah, you should email Keith, actually. Yeah, I bet he would really like that. I don't know what his email is. Anyway, so the other group is Axel. Do you want to go over this list? You could probably pronounce all these names, right?
This one I should be able to do better. So this is from Pulpy Prodigies. And Axel from it's got a little flag on his symbol. I just couldn't see
from it. From Blood.
I didn't make the... from a country. Group one starts with a War Corps, the Shrouded, Shasvasti Caliban, Speculo Killer, Achilles as Lieutenant, 2 Ikadron Bat Droids, and 2 Imitron Beacons. Group two has 2 R Drones, a Q Drone, Patrocles, Dartok, and then you have your Dr. Worm, MedTech Obsidian with 1 Slave Drone.
I look at this list and I feel it looks like Onyx to me. Other than Sheeskin, you have Achilles. I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
It definitely gets that. It definitely feels like Onyx with a splash of War Corps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not much to say. I mean, Patrick, I think it's interesting that the Interplanetario, literally the year after the new edition drops where Achilles switched sides, that they are one of the winners of the actual thing. That's actually kind of neat.
Yeah, it definitely feels good, especially because I know everyone was talking about someone else in Aelith for a long time, mm-hmm. and Achilles was kind of left to the side mm-hmm. to pout and betray.
And he even made it so thematic that Achilles is hanging out with his really, really close roommate, Patrocles. Isn't that sweet?
I like the in the picture of the list, how big Achilles is in comparison.
It's absolutely massive.
Because you can see the difference in like the version of the models, how old one of them is and how new the other one is.
Yeah, Achilles has a type in his roommates.
Yeah.
Oh god. Anyway, yeah, it has all the stuff you'd expect. Again, Shrouded and Caliban are great. Speculos are phenomenal. I think it's always funny to see Dr. Worm because I hear some people really talk down about him because they're like, it's this really slow. Well, I guess it's not really slow, right? It's like 6'4" some insanity.
It's got two doctorates, one in engineering, one in being a doctor.
Sure.
And then he's a journalist as a hobby. Like, yeah, no one should ever talk down about Dr.
Worm. I forgot he was a journalist.
Yeah.
That was the only way you could report war crimes in second edition when you did the Paradiso campaign. Dr. Worm.
Second edition.
Yeah. That was the first human sphere. That's where Paradiso campaign was in. It was a second edition. N2.
I thought that was that wasn't Paradiso that we were reporting war crimes.
What was it?
That was a different event, because I remember on the forums people were putting a top hat and a mustache on Dr. Worm and being, yes, I'd like to report the crime. These humans, this faction. But that was when I was active on the forums, which was after second edition.
Oh, well, there you go. I stand corrected. I'm dumb. Nobody pay attention to me. Why would you even listen to this podcast?
You know, I didn't want a message sent to Keith about how we're wrong about the journalism of
it. Yeah. I mean, he's going to be the one to know, and he's going to give me a piece of his mind. I guarantee it.
Yeah, it was a certain ITS season, though.
Well, you know what? Here's the cool thing. I don't care. So, next. This is what I'm excited about. So you're gonna start hearing me having some excitement in my voice. So we're talking about Hexadome Legends, which is the revamped. I'm not entirely sure what it is. I don't know if it's like a new edition, if that's where you want to look at it, but it's essentially the new version of Aristea. They are changing the name of the game to Hexadome, which is in line with the video game, which I'm going to double check because I continuously messed up in my brain what that video game was called.
Yep.
Yeah, it's Hexadome Legends. So it's interesting that the writing was on the wall for this one. So that's cool. But I really enjoy the board game. I've only played it maybe 3 or 4 times, and I think I've managed to win it every single time. It's a really, 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 really it's a sleeper of a game where people don't talk about it, and it deserves way more attention than what it really gets. Which is a shame because the game is really good.
Yeah. And I have played it since the game came out, and I have lost every single game of it, but I still find it very fun.
And so we will talk about the new contents. We don't really know much about the gameplay itself. One, because the article's in German, and two, in that I don't think it's going to change that much. It'll probably be really, really similar to the video game. If I had to guess, it's kind of weird that the video game might have been a beta test for the actual board game.
Yeah. So
that's fun.
Yeah. It looks like they changed the mechanics from the original, but the model scale is the same. So if you do have those old models from Aristea, you can most likely use it. You just got to get updated cards. So all those really nice painted alternative themed characters, you can probably just port over with no issue.
Which I think that if you're interested in Aristea, you're probably going to be buying this board game anyway, because it does have a few new gladiators or Ariostos or whatever they're called.
So,
I forget what they call them.
Combatants?
No, there's definitely like a word for like gladiator. It's like Aristos or something like that.
That's too fancy for me.
Anyway, doesn't matter. Let's talk about the characters.
Actually, before you want me to go first? Infinity Hexadome Legends.
No.
It's planned to be released in mid to late 2026. And what they previewed at Interplanetario is the new core box. So within this, there is some new colors changing to the board. The dice are now different, and you have 4 new characters and 4 old characters.
Are the dice new?
We're getting new dice that have the same colors and symbols, but with different distributions.
Oh, okay. Oh, yep. That's cool. I didn't see that.
So actually, the article that we're going off of is, it looks like Arachne, but it's in Dutch.
It's Arachne, it's not us.
It's arachnet.de.
It's Arachnet.
Yeah. No, I liked Arachnet.
Yeah, you could also do it that way if you want, if you're wrong.
It's free advertising.
It's free advertising. Free
advertising for
it's
us.
Free real estate, baby.
Yeah. So, yeah, so you're right. It's Risto's is what the name was. So old characters that are returning in the core box are Gata, Maximus, Musashi, and Hexer, with four new characters, Obake, Afara, Tangerine, and Beatbox.
And they all look, all the new models look amazing.
Look so good.
One of the other things that I would be excited about from this, even if you don't play this game, if you're an Infinity player, is there's always a chance that these new Ariestos will be put into the main game. So there's a chance that these models might mean something to you as an Infinity player.
I hope they put Musashi into the game. I think he's a really cool...
That'd be really exciting.
Yeah. He's a really cool gladiator.
So shall we kind of go over the cards, not fully knowing everything, but at least talk about them? All right, so I'll do Gata first because I like cat girls. So Gata is similar to the Spanish word for cat. So that's why she's got like a cat thing going on.
Oh.
Because Gata, I think Gata might just mean female cat. I know Gato is Spanish for cat.
Yeah.
So I guess Gata means female cat. I'm not entirely sure how that works. Because I know Esposo is male significant other, like spouse. And then Esposa is female significant other wife.
So Leviosa. Like female so wife.
Leviosa. Yeah, so I think Gata is, I believe, is just Spanish for female cat, which makes sense with her thing. Gata has always been a objective runner. She's always been really fragile, and she's always been very fast. So they have very much kept that. She's got a very low health at 2. She's got 5 movement, which is pretty good, considering that it's at least... Oh, no, actually, it's equal to... Oh, I was thinking that was going to be higher, but I know she has a lot of abilities that help her to displace. Oh, because she has free run. That's what adds to her speed. There it is. So, yeah, she doesn't really do any damage per se. I don't even think any of her attacks can really do damage other than distraction, which is not very confident building as far as it goes. So this is definitely a model you're going to bring in order to be standing in zones, not necessarily to do damage. This is a pressure application model where you're hoping for your other Aristos to be maybe more control heavy, where they lock people down. I'm thinking like an 8-ball or a Maximus, I guess, in this case would also work that way. But Hexer would also work really well with Gata if you've never played this game. But at least I think so. Again, this might all change when this all comes out. But the good thing about Gata is she's always a model that you can use to get where you want her to be, where your opponent does not want her to be. And as long as you stay out of line of sight and all that, she is a pain in the butt to get rid of. And the model looks really good. I like this model way more than the original. The original was her just kind of running. She was definitely suffering from first edition core box syndrome that most games go through, where the models in the starter box are always never as good as the things that come after it.
Yep.
It's just kind of like a part of the biz. This new one looks amazing. She's jumping over some of the obstacle things that are jutting out of the ground that happen in the Aristeos game. She's wearing a sick bomber jacket, which I'm totally into. And her art, super cute. She looks super cute. She's got that little tank top. It's all pink. It's so pretty.
Very kawaii. Cute.
Yes, very kawaii, very much so. I talked about the cool person. You can talk about the lame-o. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just want to point out that it does look like it's in line with current Infinity like timeline. So it's 3 years in the future, which makes sense with her looking more adult than before when she looked like a cool teenager. So next up we have is Maximus. He is the Shield of Jotun. That's his ability. 7 health. He moves 4. He's a tank.
He's got taunt. The taunt is usually the key when it comes to these kinds of things. Taunt's on a 7 health model.
This guy's like your shield wall. He's taking hits for your other models. Everything
not,
like
not that. Not much else to say. He's definitely more in line with his current Infinity model, where he's got the big armored suit. Because Maximus before... I'm actually going to look it up live right now. Because his old model was more themed, I guess. It wasn't necessarily like generic armor man. Yeah, he was definitely a little bit smaller. I feel like his new armor set is definitely much bigger. Like the shoulder blade, the shoulder pauldrons, I guess is what I was kind of going for. He definitely looks like he's more in like an armored suit as opposed to being like a guy in armor, if that makes sense. But he looks much more inclined, much more in line with his current look in the miniatures game.
Yeah, the article says that the miniature is based on the new Maximus Optimum for operate. The Maximus operating for Aelif. Words.
Good job, Mike.
I'm having like a mini stroke.
Art looks good. Yeah, he looks fine.
Yeah, definitely fitting.
Now let's talk about somebody who's actually interesting. Miyamoto Musashi. We've heard of this guy a couple times before. The new he's second most sculpts in Infinity, right? For CB? Second most?
For named characters, yes. Just because I think Warcores are up there as well.
Because I think Joan might still have the most.
Yeah.
I think it's close.
For named characters, she has the most, and then Musashi.
And I'm assuming Cassandra's probably not too far behind.
She's got 3.
Cassandra?
Yeah.
No, she's got more than 3. Because she's got Spitfire. We're not talking about this, right? Yeah, that's another discussion for another time. Let's not get into all this. All right, so Miyamoto Musashi has always been the melee assassin character in this game. He's fragile with 3 health, but he definitely has an attack that can put people down because he has a double special trigger on his regular attack, which lets you do a second attack with much better stats. So he's one of those, like, you want to set him up to knock him down kind of characters. One of the one thing I can't not see every single time I look at the art for this guy is his eyes look like they're way too low on his head. And it's there purposely to make it look like he's like his head is angled down because he's like looking up, if that makes sense. But it just looks like, it just makes him look like he has a massive forehead, and he looks like Master Shake. He looks like Master Shake from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. That's all I can see with the eyes. I don't know why. I'm messed up. Somebody send help.
I'm messed up. You've been watching too much Adult Swim.
So yeah, he's got some great stats. Obviously he's got 3 health, so he's definitely a little bit more on the fragile side. His defenses they're okay. They're all right. They're better than Gata's. Let's just put it that way. And he definitely does well, as like a diver, I think, in my opinion. So you just run in there, do an attack, because you'll hopefully get the extra action essentially if you do the second swing with the tie tie no sen. You may displace yourself if you inflict any amount of damage. And so then the Kaze, here we go. Here's my pronunciation issues. As soon as we go into Asian languages, my body falls apart. Kaze Takenu. And this one helps you move if you do damage, and then you can move a little bit more if you actually put him in the infirmary. I like how that actually has like a separate like actual description. That's kind of cool. But yeah, he's great. I doubt he'll be a bad pick if you have a board that's made for it. And if you help, he's kind of like Gata, where if you have a bunch of characters who can move people into his range in order for him to get to people either without moving or with just a single move, then I think he'll ruin people, which is great. That's definitely what you want him for. I think he's great. And I love the new sculpt. Again, I really enjoy how they're involving the obstacle things that are supposed to like pop out of the ground for the Aristea Gladiator arena thing. So I think it's really cool that they're playing with that.
He's got his cyber toes out too.
He does have some cyber toes. I was just thinking that. It's like, man, this guy, it definitely looks like a cool alternate take on the like Japanese warrior with the sandals type thing. Yeah. I really like it.
He's got his grippers out.
He's got his pavement pounders out, and he's gonna put them doggies out for money.
All right. Next up, the last of the characters we know is Hexar. 3 health. She received some nerfs from the looks of it. Her initiative is the second lowest, I believe, in this box, which definitely affects her gameplay from what it was previously. She's very squishy. Doesn't look too powerful. She looks more of like a kind of like a Gata situation, where she is there to annoy your opponent and also take down objectives.
Yeah, she's 100% always been a control wizard type, because even with Gotcha, there's an immobilize on there, and if you don't get the immobilize, you have the slowdown, and the Vade Retro helps you move models into places that they don't want to be, obviously. So that could be adjacent to your other Ariostos, where they might like lock them down, like with a taunt, let's just say from Maximus, or again, 8-ball, because you could do that, move them next to 8-ball. 8-ball could hit them with the stick. Again, if that's if 8-ball is the same. And she has a little bit of self-displacement. She's not necessarily very fast because she's only got that move 4. But her defense, which I think is kind of interesting, includes a special. So as long as you're rolling the blue and that black dice on her defense roll and you get one shield, depending on how they change it, because I know at least in Warcrow, if you use the symbol, you can't use it for like its generic purpose. So if you use your shield for a trigger, you can't use it for your, also your defense. So it's kind of interesting where if you roll well enough and your opponent doesn't roll well enough for you to use that shield for actually defending yourself, you can get out of there, which is good to stop you from getting double tapped and stuff like that. But she's always been a little bit of a fragile model, at least in my opinion. But she's really good when it comes to stopping enemy models from running to objective zones that are even close by. Like I think Hexer is one of the most clutch characters in the game, in my opinion. She's always been good in my vaulted opinion.
Yeah, it's will be interesting to see with her not having good initiative how she's gonna be used, because you can't really lock things down as easy anymore.
Yeah, about 100%. And I think her model is the biggest winner from the box. I really like Musashi's and I like Goddess, but Hexer's new model looks super good. I love the lightning bolt thing that's going on.
You think that's the best one?
Yeah.
All right.
You want to fight?
No, I'm just surprised.
All right, Arachnus, he's surprised. Did you hear that?
I thought he'd pick the cat girl.
I like cat girls, but Gata's got it going on. Don't get me wrong. All right. But look at this. Hexer looks like, listen, Mike, I try my best to not be that kind of guy, but when I look at models like Hexer, I start to think maybe I am that type. Maybe I am that kind of guy.
All right. Let's move on to a muscle mommy for you. So these are the new characters that are going to be in this box. You get to do this.
You want me to do Obake?
Yeah, you get the muscle mommy.
That's a dude.
Right? No?
I'm pretty sure Obake is a dude.
I don't know.
That looks like a dude to me. Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry if it's not a dude, but it looks like a dude to me.
I don't know.
I don't know German.
Oh, you can translate it with Google.
Yeah, can I?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just translate it real fast. Class of yokai.
It's just a she.
Yeah, the description of it doesn't even say if it's a he or she. I don't know. It looks like a dude to me. If it's not, then I'm sorry. But, you know, I'm starting to think I've been doing my best to not be that kind of guy. But I guess when I look at models like this, I realize maybe I am that kind of guy.
How could you? Let's say that it could be whatever you want.
It's true. Yeah, it's the future. I mean, friggin' Fiddler not only changed sex, but she also changed species. Who's to say?
Yeah.
Who's to say? Anyway, so Obake is actually a Japanese thing for yokais, which is essentially like a Japanese spirit, sort of like a demon kind of thing, except onis and yokai are a little different. I think yokai are supposed to be like a little bit more like natural, while oni are supposed to be from like a different dimension. Like a different kind of world, like from a Tori gate. Don't mind me. I'm just talking about history stuff and mythology stuff. Anyway, so Obake looks to be some kind of bruiser. She's running around with what appears to be like cyber tontos, I guess. And the arrows, I'm not entirely sure what that symbol means, either because I haven't played the game for long enough or that's a new symbol. But her judgment of the Oni attack is running around with a red, orange, and a blue dice, which is pretty good. Admittedly, but I don't know what that symbol is. And your ability to move one or push one, your target, also really good. You got to love anything in this game that gives you movement either for yourself or your opponent.
Sorry, which symbol?
The one that's like the three little green arrows being pushed forward.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't remember ever seeing that in the base game, but like I said, it's been a really long time since I've played it. But I like the model. I think it's cool. I love the future Tonto sticks. Yeah,
they look super cool.
So yeah, they look good. Impure shield. If you are not shielded, heal one for yourself. That's amazing. Or you give yourself shielded. Love that. Maybe that just means you pick one.
Yeah.
It's like an automatic effect that you get to pick.
The if situation. Or like when you do that ability, you get that.
Yeah. And the intimidating presence thing is really good just because it is a brawn versus agility roll where if they fail, they lose all their movement. That could be devastating, especially if you're using anything that might be able to lower their agility stat, which, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure that'll happen. But yeah, I'm a big fan. I like the look of this new character. This is definitely a model that would be in Yuzhing if it got entered into the game itself. I don't know if it's a lady because in the art, it does look like she's kind of got like a bra strap thing.
That's the only reason why I thought that.
So maybe I think it's a dude. I think it's a dude. That's anyway, fair. Next one.
All right. Next up is Afara. It's a Middle Eastern designed character. Kind of reminds me of like a Jin situation. A 2 health type of thing, but it definitely looks like a Bixie replacement is what this article is saying. You're able to do some damage working around walls, so you're able to interact with the terrain more with this character. And you're playing around with being able to shield yourself and displace yourself between it. I think this model is my favorite looking model of them all.
Should I judge you like you judged me?
Yeah, you can judge me.
Really, Mike?
Yeah.
Afara's your favorite model?
Yeah, they've got the cool wind effects going on, especially with like the Super Saiyan hair and like the hand thing.
It definitely reminds me of the model that they're using as a special edition for Warcrow.
Yeah.
The mage chick with the flame.
Also, hair. I think the concept art is stupid cool looking.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Are you going to have it tattooed on your face?
Lower back.
Lower back, excellent.
Yeah,
I was thinking it was going to be a womb tattoo for you.
I don't have a womb.
Well, not with that attitude, you know.
I need to teach you some
some anatomy.
Yeah.
Anyway, this boy's fragile.
Yeah, this boy is very fragile, but he is able to shield himself pretty easily. It looks like with just 2 exclamation marks. And then also, he has the ability to remove his shield to displace himself. So you should be able to move around, get next to walls, and score objectives is what it feels like.
I'm curious to know how far the displace is.
Yeah.
Doesn't actually say how far. Anyway. Yeah, it definitely looks like I'm not so sure about this one. This one might be hard to use in the game itself. Yeah, I agree. I think the sculpt is really cool and the concept's really, really cool.
There's a reason why I've never won a single game.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, anyway, so the next one is Tangerine. I absolutely adore this model. She is so cute. It's very
adorable. I love the little Tangerine doll.
Mm-hmm. It's super sweet, super cute, long hair flying around. I love tangerines. Tangerines are very delicious. Tangerines and mangoes, I think, are really slept on as far as fruit go. But that's you know, come at me. Email Keith if you got something to say about that.
Yeah.
Also, another very fragile character. This is definitely a healer model. This is going to be maybe an alternative to like Parvati from the original game. Mm-hmm. And she has I believe the blue on the logo means that it's essentially like a friendly ability, as in like it's maybe an attack. I'm not entirely sure what the colors and all that mean. Again, I haven't played them long enough.
I'm no angel is red, and that's an offensive attack.
Yep. And 2 oranges and a yellow. Not bad. I don't think it's going to do as much as like a Miyamoto by any means, but
yeah.
The ability to do a little bit of damage with her from some range for spaces away is pretty okay, but it's definitely not going to keep you out of danger range. I think that this is going to be a model that really depends on her teammates, and they're going to obviously depend on her as far as like healing them. And while you're next to me, I'll always ignore one additional.
Yeah, it's a cool passive right there. She has.
Yeah, I was going to say from Tangerine with Love is probably why you take her. It also helps that it's rangeless. Yeah, big fan.
She's an angel.
That she is. Isn't she sweet?
She's not like a tangerine, angel, though. It says it on her card.
It does. It does say that.
But yeah, the art concept's pretty cool. Overall, I think that's a pretty fun character.
Yep. Big fan. Big win. Big win.
And last but not least is Beatbox. This super fun looking guy wearing a nice mask and having two giant speakers on his back and holding like the sound gun that you have in Overwatch.
Yeah, I forget his name.
Right?
Maybe I'll look it up.
Yeah. So this guy, he's not super tanky, but he does have a
Lucio.
Yeah, Lucio with the sound guns. This guy is a really big attack. He's rolling Rob dice with an extra hit on it. Because it's red, orange, blue. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you get a reroll if your target is marked. So this character definitely, I think, is can go in there and really take out some characters pretty easily.
Yep, I agree. And it's interesting to see some consistent character usage of them doing things that don't require line of sight. So Beatbox is one of them, and the Afara guy is also... If you're adjacent to a wall, spins it, place yourself adjacent. I guess his stuff does require actual like direct line of sight, because a lot of his stuff is they got to be against the wall.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Certain area.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the case. You got to love any kind of indirect damage like that where you can save yourself from punitive damage. So, yeah, I like him. I think it's a really cool design. His speakers are giant balls, which is a little weird, but I'm here for it. He looks like he's from O12.
You think that?
Because he's got the glowy effect thing going on his skin, and he's got the same blue and yellow, and his hand, the armor plates are laid out in a similar way.
Oh, I thought that was just the lighting effect around the model.
No, I mean, his pants, especially, he has that like that glow effect thing that are on all the O12 models. So
I feel like
might be from Consilium. Wouldn't that be nice?
Cool. Yeah. I do like finding out random tidbits about random characters. I'm trying to read what's on his chest as well.
Yeah, but it looks like it's Sanskrit.
Anyone in the chat know how to read Sanskrit?
Yes. Like and comment down below if you know how to read Sanskrit.
Wait, is that my pin number? Corvus Belly, no.
Circus Belly, what are you doing? No.
But fun design. He's got a cool sneaks on him.
Yeah, I don't have to paint him as white Vans for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this character and his design for sure. I think it's cool. And Mike, I believe that is it. Is there anything else that we have not talked about that they announced at Interplanetario 2025?
They announced that you all should like and subscribe to the Arachne podcast.
How do you like a podcast, Mike?
Did I do that right? No, I didn't.
Oh, you were there. You were close.
So on Spotify, and the, YouTube, cause we have a YouTube channel,
that we do.
Google. If you just Google Arachne,
just Google podcast, us. Hit the like button on Google.
Make sure you add the podcast at the end, or else you're gonna get a bunch of pictures of spiders, and some people don't like those.
That's true. Actually, we're pretty good on the algorithm now. If you put in Arachne, you might actually see us on the front page now. We've been around long enough. We've been consistent. It's all about consistency, not about actual popularity.
I just got Greek lore stuff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Britannica.
Britannica?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm surprised they didn't come up with Arachne from Hades 2, where she is the cutest girl.
Let's go to the images. Let's see. The
cutest little spider.
Don't see that either.
Yeah, I don't see it either.
We're not there yet.
Well, if you put it in Arachne podcast, 100% we're there. Oh, look, we're the first one.
On multiple different things.
Yeah, sure are. Oh, and the Mythic America with Father Time one specifically is the most listened to one, apparently. Or at least the most Google search. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So, guys, thank you very much for listening to this episode. Yeah, if you give us a sweet 5-star review on your platform of choice, that'd be really, really cool. Helps grow the family, helps us talk about this kind of stuff. The next episode won't be much longer. We promise we are making Infinity content again. I almost burped, sorry. And the next episode we are going to talk about will be about Varuna. We're bringing back the lore episodes. We are working on the script as of right now, and it should be ready for you pretty soon. So that'll be exciting. And now that the Summer of Plunder is over, probably by the time this episode comes out, we'll be doing more cyberpunky type stuff and Infinity stuff again. Although if anybody here who's listening to this from the Raise the Black stuff, just know that my love for that game has not diminished in any way possible. I love that gosh dang game. So I'm definitely going to still be making content for it. And eventually maybe Mike will join us on that.
Yeah. Do you think that Varuna has a bunch of pirate ships there?
Actually, it's funny. I was reading the stuff for today. There's a surprising lack of crime on Varuna. Apparently the locals on Varuna do not commit crime. It's everybody that comes to the planet from other places to commit all the crime.
Oh, they come on holiday, do crime.
So yeah, they come and they sell illicit substances, and then there's a lot of crimes of passion apparently on Varuna.
Crimes of passion.
They go to Coldplay concerts and they see their significant others on the Jumbotron when they go there to watch the Scoo Ball, I think it's called, the Scoo Ball tournaments.
Do you think one day that we could be on a Coldplay Jumbotron?
You know what, Mike? I think when Arachne gets so big, that when we go there, they're going to have to put us on there.
Perfect.
And then we'll kith. Kith.
Kith.
Over to kith. Now kith.
If you'd like to hear the kiss, please please give us 1,000 likes on this podcast.
Oh, my God. All right. So that's it, guys. I don't know what we're doing here half the time. I think we're just really goofing. We're just big goofballs, you know, and that's all right with us. So give us those reviews. You know where to find us. I'm Dr. D, dr.d. You can find me on Discord at Dr. D, dr.d, or furypainting@gmail.com. Where can they find you, Mike?
I'm Inventor of Soup on Discord, Steam, and my email is inventorofsoup@gmail.com.
And of course, we want to thank all the people in the background that help keep this podcast running. Kara for helping with the editing, and Tim for running the network, that big, bald, beautiful man. And we really appreciate you, the listener. Thank you very much for listening to our insane ramblings, especially these two episodes. We've been getting back into it. I've been getting excited. Maybe I'll win a game of Infinity one day again. We can all hope, although I doubt it because I went to another event and got last place again. So I'm definitely not thinking about that. Anyway, so thanks for listening, Nomads. Make sure you keep it popping out there. Don't let Alif get you. Bye.
Bye.
Taking it to the streets. Fast dice, fast talk, you can't compete. On the mic, we elite. Professional, but never casual. Slinging facts, making it tactical. Infinity's wild, unpredictable. The rhythm's unstoppable.